Good afternoon. I'm Pastor Randall Yonke, host pastor here at Holy Cross Lutheran Church, and we're glad to have you this afternoon for a very special celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation and all that the year ahead certainly will hold for us. I wish to give you just a little bit of word. Our offering today, I put that on the very front inside cover of your service book, will be split between the Guinea mission in West Africa, and also Project Wittenberg and a little bit there. If you're going to be writing checks, it's going to be easiest if you do those checks payable to Holy Cross Lutheran Church. We can consolidate them and then send them to our circuit treasurer. So please be aware of that as well. This one's wide open. No, this one's wide open. It's just this one. Yeah, sit in the front. It's not often we get to see Lutherans sit right there. Anyway, a word about the sacrament today. We're going to have all of our pastors participating, and we'll run this side on this table and this side on this table. And please come up the center, forming two lines. The ushers will assist you if you need help getting up the stairs. And then just go around and then come back the side aisle to your pews. Now, Ron, are there folks that we know of that need communion brought to them in the pews? Is there anyone that needs the sacrament brought to them in the pew? Okay, all righty. Well, if someone comes in, Ron, please let me know that. Following the service, we're going to have to kind of transition a little bit for Dr. Herman to make his presentation, set up screen and projector. That probably will be a very good time after service to go to the restrooms and those kind of things. The restrooms on this level are go out to the narthex and as far as you can that way. That's the restrooms there. There's a duplicate set in the lower level. If you've been down by the CPH bookstore display, you probably saw them. They're on this wall towards where the children's books were at. So please be aware of that. The breakouts I tried to describe as best we could. Dr. Herman will be up here for both of his settings. Pastor Lang will be in the lower level of this worship area, as well as we're planning Mr. Solek to do his breakout down there as well. And we'll kind of see where people filter if we need to change anything. But that's the plan at this time. So once again, welcome, and God bless your hearing and your worship and praise.
Grace.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his command and authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God, we
praise you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son to lead home his bride, the church, that with all the company of the redeemed, we may finally enter into his eternal wedding feast. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading for the Festival of the Reformation is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead, with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm comes from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The epistle for Reformation service is found in Romans chapter 3, 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then, what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law.
Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Jesus, brothers and sisters in the household of faith, sharing the bond of baptism into Christ, fellow heirs of the Reformation and confessors of the faith, according to the Lutheran confessions, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a joy it is to be gathered together with you, the LCMS Lutherans and guests from Southwest Kansas, for this very special celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Thanks to all of you who helped organize this event and worked so hard to bring it about, and thank you for inviting me to have the privilege of proclaiming God's word to you today. I'm sure we all know what we're here to celebrate this afternoon, that 500 years ago, on October 31st, 1517, a Roman Catholic monk and priest and doctor of theology and university professor in the small but up-and-coming town of Wittenberg, Germany, posted 95 theses, or statements for debate, on the subject of the power and efficacy of indulgences. Indulgences, those pieces of paper that the Roman papacy had sold for years and had recently begun to sell in Germany to finance the building of St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. Pieces of paper that supposedly granted release from all temporal punishment for sin, and thus also for many years in purgatory. The first and most famous of those 95 theses is this. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed that the entire life of believers should be one of repentance. But another one of those theses, which states simply and beautifully one of the eventual main tenets of the Reformation, is the 62nd thesis. The true treasure of the Church is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. And yet the posting of those 95 theses on October 31st wasn't the sum total of the Reformation, not by a long shot. Instead, that day was just the beginning of years, even decades of struggle to reclaim the Word of God as the sole source and norm for all Christian teaching, and to reclaim the gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, as the center of God's revelation to us, and thus of the Church's ministry. And so for centuries, because of that Reformation emphasis on the Word of God and the Gospel, for centuries, the faithful cloud of witnesses that has gone before us has appointed today's reading from John chapter 8 as the Holy Gospel for the annual celebration of the Reformation. Words of Jesus that speak of God's Word and truth and freedom over and against sin and slavery to sin. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It's especially about this freedom that I'd like to speak today. Freedom from what? Some of those Jews who were listening to Jesus when he first mentioned freedom didn't seem to think they needed any freedom at all. And so Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Maybe you've heard the stories or seen in one of the Luther movies, including the recent one, how as a young monk, Luther himself felt enslaved to sin, unable to please God, unable to make sufficient satisfaction through day after day of fasting and night after night, sleeping on cold floors and hours of kneeling in prayer on stone. 1 year before his death, Luther reflected on these early years of his life, writing, "As a monk, I led an irreproachable life. Nevertheless, I felt that I was a sinner before God. My conscience was restless, and I could not depend on God being propitiated by my satisfactions. Not only did I not love, but I actually hated the righteous God who punishes sinners. Thus, a furious battle raged within my perplexed conscience." Luther is describing here a life, even a pious Christian life, that doesn't see Jesus in his proper place and doesn't yet understand, let alone trust in, the sole sufficiency of Jesus' life and death and resurrection for the sins of the world. Deep down in the soul, such a life is pure slavery. No matter how much a person might appear to be living right before God. And that is if such a self-proclaimed Christian has the self-discipline to lead an irreproachable life, as Luther claimed to have lived as a monk. But how many of us experience this problem compounded in our lives by repeatedly losing the battle with Satan as he ensnares us in habitual sins, which at first seem harmless, but eventually become our master, damaging our relationships with others and regularly giving us a bad conscience. The Apostle Peter says in his second epistle, "Whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved." Jesus says, "Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Many of you are familiar, I'm sure, with the hymn, "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice," which was the second of some 36 hymns that Luther wrote, and the earliest of his hymns that have stood the test of time and are still in our hymnals today. Listen to how Luther describes in that hymn this slavery to sin, this need for the most holy gospel. "Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly o'er me. Sin was my torment night and day, in sin my mother bore me, but daily deeper still I fell. My life became a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me. My own good works all came to naught, no grace or merit gaining. Free will against God's judgment fought, dead to all good remaining. My fears increased till sheer despair left only death to be my share. The pangs of hell I suffered." So that's our need for freedom. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. But how do we get that freedom? The answer might seem so simple and obvious to most of us sitting here today. As heirs of the Reformation, we have the benefit of 500 years of a reclaimed and clarified gospel message that has permeated our Lutheran culture. From Sunday school on, we all know that the best answer to just about any important question is Jesus. But the most holy gospel, of which Luther speaks in his 62nd thesis, wasn't at all clear when the Reformation began. The words were there, gospel and Jesus and other such related words. But how to put them together and what exactly to say and believe about Jesus and whether to recognize Jesus' preeminent place in God's plan of salvation or instead to add in other requirements, these were things that the Reformation clarified through the fire of struggle, so that the gospel, like 24-karat gold, could once again shine in all its pureness. So how do we get that spiritual freedom that we all so desperately need? Jesus himself answers that in today's gospel. "If you continue in my word," he says, "you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And again he says, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." But how does this work? How does the Son set us free? The Son who said of himself later on in John's gospel, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Here's where today's second reading that we heard from Romans chapter 3 helps us and gives us opportunity to understand one of Luther's breakthrough insights that turned on the light bulb, so to speak, and allowed Luther to reclaim an understanding of the gospel that had been clouded over for many centuries. The key phrase in that reading we heard from Romans chapter 3 is the phrase, "the righteousness of God." But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. You see, Luther and his contemporaries had been taught to understand that phrase as really referring only to God. God is righteous, but we can never be. And the righteous and most holy God can do nothing other than hate sin and punish the sinner. And so the best we can do is strive with all our might not to sin and to work very hard at making amends for the sins we do commit by doing enough good works to make up for them and then just hope that it's all enough to appease our righteous God. But we never know. And that's a terrifying way to live and die. And that was the understanding of the righteousness of God in Luther's early years. But then Luther came to understand that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God, and that Christ is given to us by faith. And everything that is Christ's by nature, including his righteousness, is given to us. And everything that is ours by nature, including our sin, is given over to Jesus. I lay my sins on Jesus. And Jesus paid for that sin by giving his righteous life that didn't deserve to die into death on the cross, so that now in Christ, that is, as Christians, this righteousness of Christ is ours too. And this righteousness of God is no longer a terrifying thing, but a beautiful, joyous, and freeing gift. The truth, that is Jesus, Jesus, the righteousness of God, will set you free. And oh, what joy this brings, this gospel message of full and free salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Speaking of his key insight about the righteousness of God that had come to him some 30 years earlier, Luther wrote in that same work I referred to a bit earlier, he wrote toward the end of his life about this passage, and really also especially about Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Luther wrote this: "Now I felt as though I'd been reborn altogether and had entered paradise. This passage from Paul became to me the very gate of paradise." And so, abiding in Jesus Christ and in his word, you are free. Free from the need to fear death or your enemies or the consequences of sin or anything else. Free because of Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God, who has been given to you by faith. But what do we then do with that freedom? Are we to live selfishly, just basking in our freedom and hoarding every spiritual blessing from God for ourselves? 3 years to the month after posting his 95 theses, Luther wrote yet another one of his very important works entitled On the Freedom of a Christian. In that work, he made two profound statements around which the entire thing is organized. Luther said, first of all, a Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. And secondly, he said that at the same time, a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. As he unpacks that first statement, Luther waxes eloquently all about the freedom that is ours in Jesus Christ. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. But then in the later part of that work, he lays out beautifully how this isn't the end of the story, or at least not all that there is to be said about the Christian life. So let me close with just two paragraphs from the great reformer on this freedom that is ours in Jesus Christ and what that means for our neighbors. Luther begins in these two paragraphs by applying what Philippians chapter 2 says about Jesus and applying that to every Christian. He writes, "Although the Christian is thus free from all works, he ought in this liberty to empty himself, take upon himself the form of a servant, be made in the likeness of men, be found in human form, and to serve, help, and in every way deal with his neighbor as he sees that God, through Christ, has dealt and still deals with him. This he should do freely, having regard for nothing but divine approval. He ought to think, although I am an unworthy and condemned man, my God has given me in Christ all the riches of righteousness and salvation without any merit on my part, out of pure, free mercy, so that from now on I need nothing except faith which believes that this is true. Why should I not, therefore, freely, joyfully, with all my heart, and with an eager will, do all things which I know are pleasing and acceptable to such a Father who has overwhelmed me with his inestimable riches? I will, therefore, give myself as a Christ to my neighbor, just as Christ offered himself to me. I will do nothing in this life except what I see is necessary, profitable, and salutary to my neighbor, since through faith I have an abundance of all good things in Christ. And so may each of you abide continually in the word of Christ, which has set you free from slavery. And as his disciples, growing in discipleship, may the freedom that you are blessed to know free you for constant good works toward your neighbor. Thanks be to God for the Reformation, for Martin Luther, and for the pure gospel of Jesus, which he confessed, and we with him. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Having heard the proclamation, let us join together in confessing our faith. The words of the Nicene Creed. Please rise. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray to the Lord, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, beseeching him to have mercy and hear us. Lord God, while we travel as pilgrims here on earth, give us comfort in the knowledge that you have called us to be your disciples through water and the word. In the midst of difficult times when waters roar and foam and mountains tremble,
Give us confidence in knowing that we have been set free by the Son, and so we are free indeed. The Lord of hosts is with us. Lord God, as your children, we are called to love you, our neighbor, and even our enemy. Give us willing hearts to love our neighbors as ourselves, because you first loved us. The Lord of hosts is with us. Lord God, you are greater than the one who is in the world, prowling and seeking to devour us. Deliver us from the old evil foe, knowing that he cannot harm us because he has been defeated by your Son's death and resurrection. Give us strength to resist Satan and keep us firm in the faith you have given us. The Lord of hosts is with us. Lord God, your Son bought us with his lifeblood as the price. In him, we are set free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. By your Holy Spirit, working through your word, preserve us in the one true faith, that we might abide in you until you bring us to the place you have prepared for us in your house. The Lord of hosts is with us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have gathered us together to receive this day, for the safe travel for all who have been invited as guests, for the safe travel as we depart from this place to go home. We ask for your mercy to be apparent and to be evident. Lord God, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, confident that for the sake of Jesus, you hear and answer. Lord, have mercy. Please be seated.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Lord, remember us in your kingdom as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, when he had supped, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord shall be with you always. Please be seated. Peter, come on over here. All take and eat the true body of our Savior, given unto death for you stand for the forgiveness of sins. Dennis, take and eat. Patrick, this is the true body of our Savior, given unto death for you, Lauren. Matt, take and eat. Andrew, this is the true body of our Savior, Jesus, given unto death for you, Peter, for the forgiveness of sins. partake and drink. This is the true blood of our Savior Jesus, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Savior Jesus, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This body and blood of our Lord Jesus will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Cynthia, take and eat the true body of our Savior. This body and blood of our Lord Jesus will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Savior will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. This is the true body of our Savior Jesus, given into death for you, for the forgiveness of all sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Savior Jesus, given into death for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Savior, given into death for you. Leave with you always. Body and blood of our Savior will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Our Savior Jesus will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Given into death for you, for the forgiveness of all sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Savior Jesus, given into death for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. Andy, this is the true body of our Savior, given into death for you, Eric, for the forgiveness of sins. Of our Savior will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. body of our Savior given into death for you, Rodney. Chris, take and eat the true body of our Savior given into death for you. Daryl, take and eat. This is the true body of our Savior, Jesus, given into death for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Savior given into death for you. Body and blood of our Savior will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Our Savior will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith and life everlasting. Depart in peace. Savior given into death for you, Wayne. Ben, take and eat. Dean, this is the true body of our Savior given into death for you, Steve, for the forgiveness of sins. Savior Jesus will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
best to all the tidings glad, and bids their hearts no more be sad. The weary burden soul it cheers, and banishes their guilty fears. May we in faith its message
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We're going to have Mr. Solek play a little after we kind of explain what's going to happen next. So, Warren?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, take it over.
I want to welcome everyone to this gathering for the celebration of the Reformation in Dodge City. A special thanks to the host congregation and pastor for all the work that they have prepared for us. We have a number of things that are still planned for today, as you saw in your bulletin. The keynote speaker is a professor of the Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, the Reverend Dr. Eric Herman. And you should have all, how many of you all saw the flyer that announced this day? We are sorry, circuit visitor, we failed in not making sure everyone had one of these in their hands. Dr. Eric Herman comes from our St. Louis Seminary. I found out in conversation that we were actually classmates, which only helped him in the average of the GPA in the group if I was his classmate. He now teaches at the seminary with interests in historical and biblical interpretation and a particular focus on Martin Luther and the Reformation period. 20th century interpretations of Martin Luther and his theology and the history of American Lutheranism. Dr. Herman joined the seminary in 2005 after serving as an assistant pastor at Timothy Lutheran in St. Louis and received his PhD and Master of Divinity from Concordia Seminary. He is a 1995 graduate of Concordia University in Wisconsin. He and his wife, Alicia, have 5 children, and they live in Eureka, Missouri. Dr. Herman, would you give a wave here so we can identify him? He is our celebrity here today. In addition to Dr. Herman giving a keynote here in the sanctuary in just a few minutes, we also have our district president, who is our preacher today. He will be giving a presentation shortly after that in the space that's down below. Pastors are here if you have any questions, but we are going to go ahead and take about a 10-minute break. If you would like to use the restroom and facilities and get anything situated. If you're too warm or too cold, you can accommodate for that. But we're going to give about a 10-minute break here before we return back here for Dr. Herman's keynote presentation. Thank you again for your gathering, and a thank you to Holy Cross and Dodge for the hosting.